This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. It's time now for this month's Backseat Book Club. Young listeners read a book and ask the author questions. Our March book is The Mysterious Benedict Society by Trenton Lee Stewart. Mr. Benedict is a benevolent father figure who assembles a team of four kids to carry out a secret mission. They wind up going on the adventure of a lifetime after answering a strange newspaper ad. Our colleague Michelle Norris has the story.
That ad appeared in a newspaper in a fictional place called Stonetown, and this is what it said. Are you a gifted child looking for special opportunities? Dozens of children answer the ad and try to conquer a series of mind-boggling tests, but only four are able to pass. All are orphans, and each is a genius in his or her own way. Author Trenton Lee Stewart explains how they come together and form a sort of pint-sized mod squad. Rennie
Muldoon is a remarkable problem solver. He's got a quick and facile intelligence, and he has a tendency to see things that other people miss.
Sticky
Washington. So-called sticky because everything he reads or observes sticks to his brain. He has a photographic memory.
Kate.
Athletic and acrobatic. She's handy with all sorts of tools. She's sort of a genius at solving physical problems.
And Constance.
She just appears to be a very small, slightly pudgy, angry poet who's always making rude poems about the people around her.
Mr. Benedict uses all those tests to find kids who have the right stuff. They need to go undercover and save the world. Assuming different identities, they attend a school that's run by the evil Mr. Curtin. He's up to no good. The kids must use their skills to stop his plan for worldwide mind control. The Mysterious Benedict Society is filled with twists and turns and constant conundrums. It's not just mysterious, it's also fantastic and heart-thumping and just plain fun. I asked Trenton Lee Stewart which came first, the curious characters or this world that they occupy.
The ideas really started with images that occurred to me in a fairly short stretch of time when I was between other writing projects of puzzles or riddles. The first one was an image of a child. I didn't know yet if it was a boy or a girl. Taking an incredibly difficult test that was more than it appeared to be. I knew there was a secret to the test. So once I started asking who these kids are, why they're taking these difficult tests, it sort of led to the notion that they were being recruited for a difficult mission that only children could accomplish.
Now, there are tests of some kind or another throughout this book. Not all of them are pen and paper tests, but these children are tested constantly. Their medalists tested, their smarts, their physical strength, their ability to find their way out of sort of a bad situation. For people who haven't had a chance to dive into this book yet, give us a great example.
So there's a place in the book where early on where the children are led into a room one at a time, and in this empty room, on the opposite wall above another door, there's a large sign that says, "Cross the room without setting foot on a blue or black square." And when they look down on the floor, they see that they are standing in a red circle, and otherwise the floor resembles a giant checkerboard with alternating rectangles of blue, black, and yellow. And there's far more blue and black than there is yellow, so that it appears that it would be impossible to cross the room without stepping on blue or black, since the yellow parts are so widely scattered that it would be difficult to jump from one to the other. That's a riddle that the kids all solve in a different way.
Sticky crawls across, never putting his foot down. Kate jerry-rigs her way in an acrobatic feat. Constance, well, she just plops down and refuses to participate. And Rennie?
What he notices that no one else notices is that although the sign says cross the room without setting foot on a blue or black square, the pattern on the floor is actually composed of rectangles, not squares per se. And so he realizes that the sign is meant to mislead you into thinking that the rectangles are squares. So it's an example of misdirection, which happens all the time in riddles, where something is stated to you, which leads you to suppose something, which is not necessarily true.
We count on NPR's Backseat Book Club readers to lead the conversation. And first up, a query from Trenton Lee Stewart's hometown, Little Rock, Arkansas.
My name is Mary Policino. I'm in seventh grade, and my question is, did you come up with all the riddles and puzzles yourself?
Yes. part of the inspiration for writing this kind of book was a chapter in The Hobbit called Riddles in the Dark, in which Bilbo Baggins, the Hobbit, is in this life or death riddle puzzle contest with Gollum. And I wanted the whole book to be just like that chapter. And I think when I started to write The Mysterious Benedict Society, that I had that chapter in mind, that kind of thing in mind, the notion of having to be able to solve puzzles and riddles because enormous stakes rode upon your ability to do that. Mm. So I did actually write all the puzzles, created all the puzzles and riddles in the book. A lot of them were already in my brain before I started out to write the book, but then more were called for. And so I really had to sit down and think about what makes a riddle a successful riddle so that I could create new ones as the narrative demanded.
Were you yourself a gifted child looking for special opportunities?
I guess I was. I was a smart kid, and I loved books, and I wanted to be involved in these big adventures that the kids go on in the Narnia Chronicles, for instance, or that The Hobbit goes on, or that the rabbits go on in Watership Down. I was always interested in the possibility maybe of finding my way into a big adventure. I wanted to go to Sesame Street. I mean, I remember distinctly running through my neighborhood thinking I knew how to get to Sesame Street, you know, and then finally finding myself amongst some scrub trees and realizing I don't know where to go from here. I had to just, you know, mope back home.
Elijah Rasool lives in Ann Arbor. He's 8 years old, and he has a simple question. Do you know Morse code?
I am much better at it now than I used to be. You might not be surprised to learn that I receive a number of letters from young readers in Morse code. So I know a little, but I didn't know it when I started out to write the book. I just thought that it seemed a good fit for the character's mission. I do feel compelled to solve them, though, because if a 13-year-old decided to write me a letter in Morse code saying, you know, help, I'm being held hostage by aliens, I would feel like I don't want to leave this young reader abandoned.
Well, Elijah Rasool says you're an awesome writer.
Thank you.
That's Trenton Lee Stewart. His book is The Mysterious Benedict Society, the first in a 3-part series. You can be the first to read the 4th book, a prequel to the series called The Extraordinary Education of Nicholas Benedict. You'll find it at our website. I'm Michelle. NPR News. And in case your Morse code is a bit rusty, that was Michelle Norris. And here's what's coming up in the next few months. Our April book is Paul Fleischman's Seed Folks, about the birth of an inner city garden.
And in June, we'll have a Reader's Choice. So we want you to cast your vote. You can do that and find out more about NPR's Backseat Book Club at npr.org/backseat.
You're listening to All Things Considered.